And in Nehemiah chapter 13, I believe you have one of the realest chapters of the Bible. What I mean by that is, sometimes people, society, they make the Bible out just to be a book of fairy stories, a book of fanciful notions. Well, if that was the case, then I believe Nehemiah would have finished off at chapter 12. Would have been a nice thing to finish off at that great praise service that we looked at last week. All of the workers on the wall, all joined together, all praising the Lord, painting a fanciful notion of Christianity. But as you scan through Nehemiah chapter 13, you'll discover that immediately after that wonderful praise service, there were many, many problems. And that just shows how real the Bible is. The Bible paints man just exactly as he is. He doesn't skip over the difficult things. It paints man exactly as he is. And Nehemiah experienced many problems in this chapter. We want to look at some of those problems this morning. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 13, we read in the verse 11 of the chapter. Nehemiah is the speaker here. And in verse 11 we read, "Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place." The Austrian composer Franz Joseph Haydn was a man of amiable disposition, despite the fact that he was married to a bitter and a malicious wife. She was known as constantly belittling Haydn and his music. It was said of his wife that many times after Haydn would record a composition or a piece of music, she would go into his workplace and she would steal the copies and she would destroy his music. Haydn spent much of his time travelling around Europe and away from home. This was partly due to the fact that his talents were in such high demand, but it was also due to the fact that he wanted to get away from his difficult wife. Whilst he was staying in England one time, a friend came to visit Haydn. At the visit, his friend noticed that there was a large list of letters on the desk where he was staying. The man asked Haydn, "Well, who are all your letters from? Are they all from your fans? Are they all from people writing about how much they love your music?" And Haydn replied, "No, all of those letters are from my wife. We write to each other every week, but I do not open her letters, and I'm sure that she doesn't open mine." And sadly, there was a loss of love between Haydn and his wife. And sometimes is that not the case in our own personal experience, as well as the experience of the Church of Christ in general? Sometimes there can be a loss of love between us as believers and our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Oh, like Haydn and his wife, the marriage bond is there. The marriage bind is there. The marriage tie is there. The relationship is there. But sadly, the companionship is gone. There is a loss of love that sometimes can creep into our lives and spoil our enjoyment of Jesus Christ. Well, this is exactly what has happened in Nehemiah chapter 13. Sadly, there was a breakdown. Sadly, there was a loss of love between the people of God and their Lord. In chapter 12, or between chapter 12 and chapter 13, there is a large lapse of time that has occurred. Verse 6 of chapter 13 gives us an insight into this, where Nehemiah, he speaks of having to leave Jerusalem for a while and go back to Persia and then return to Jerusalem. He had to go back to King Artaxerxes, to the palace in Persia. And this happened in between chapter 12 and chapter 13. And what had happened whenever Nehemiah disappeared, whenever Nehemiah went away and he then returned to Jerusalem, well, sadly, during this leave of absence, he immediately discovered that there was a loss of love between the children of Judah and their God. The fires of devotion were now a mere pile of ashes. And this loss of love, or this lack of love, was then sadly displayed in their actions and how they behaved themselves throughout Nehemiah chapter 13. This lack of love inside It was displayed by their actions outside. And whilst we can experience union with Christ, sadly we can lose communion with Christ. You can experience a loss of love for Jesus Christ. And I wonder, perhaps, has that happened to you recently? Wonder maybe, perhaps, like the children of Judah, maybe it's happened over a period of months or even years. There's been that gradual drift, that gradual decline from your God. Well, this loss of love internally, it manifests itself externally. It will show, it will display itself in certain traits in your life. Proverbs 4 verse 23 reminds us of this, where we read, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And Solomon here, he states that we are to keep our hearts. Why? Because out of our hearts, the issues of life, the stuff of life, is affected. And as the violin is controlled by the violinist, so the heart controls the hands. Whenever your heart is far removed from the Lord, and whenever there's a loss of love for the Lord, or a decline in your love, then that will show. That will show. That loss of love will be displayed. It will be displayed in your actions, your attitude. It will be displayed in your conduct and your character. That gradual decline, that loss of love, it will show itself outwardly. And this is what is happening here in chapter 13. There's a loss of love. Nehemiah's away, the leader's away, and the people, we find there's this gradual drift, this gradual decline from their God. And I believe that it shows, this loss of love, it reveals itself in certain ways. And so this morning in Nehemiah 13, I want to consider the results of a loss of love. I want you to see that there are four results here in this chapter. Firstly, I want you to see, because of a loss of love, they neglected the scripture. They neglected the scripture. Verse 1 we read, "On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God." The phrase "on that day" does not refer to what we have considered in chapter 12. It doesn't refer to that wonderful time of praise, that wonderful time of joy and jubilation when everyone was up on the walls, walking and leaping and praising God. No, there is a lapse of time between chapter 12 and chapter 13. Verse 6 of chapter 13 tells us this, where we read, "But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I came unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king." You'll notice where the timing that Nehemiah went to Shushan, or to Persia. He states it was in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king. Chapter 2 verse 1 tells us that he arrived in Jerusalem on the 20th year of the reign of King Artaxerxes. In other words, between chapter 2 and chapter 13 now, there is at least a time period of 12 years. You've heard the saying, when the cats are away, the mice will play. And that's exactly what's happening here in chapter 13. There has been a large time period that has lapsed. We can't be too sure, but it certainly seems that it was quite a long time. And during this time, when Nehemiah was away, the people of God began to neglect many areas of their spiritual lives. Now, one area was the public reading of the scripture. You remember in chapter 8 we studied that great time of preaching. That time when Nehemiah entered the pulpit and taught the word to the people. They were there, they were hungering after the word, they were yearning after the word. There was a great appetite for the word of God. Well, after that, it seems that there were set times appointed for the public reading of the word of God. And the phrase "on that day," it means that it only happened after Nehemiah returned. In other words, they stopped reading the word whenever Nehemiah was away in Persia. And it was only as Nehemiah returned, he realized that they weren't reading the scriptures. And so he got the book, he got the scriptures, and he read them publicly before the ears of the people. You see, when we fall out of love with the Savior, we will then fall out of love with his scriptures. There will be a loss of love for the Bible. I wonder, perhaps, is your heart on that gradual drift from the Lord? Well, it will be displayed firstly in your love for the Bible. Wonder, perhaps, do you read the scriptures as much as you used to? Maybe perhaps you can remember former days when you were saved. And boy, how you love to just get the book, and how you love to chomp through page after page and word after word and tittle after tittle. But perhaps sadly that's not the case today. And perhaps it's because you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ as once you ought. Amos 8, verse 11 tells us that the days shall come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And the prophet Amos here, he states there was a famine. It wasn't a famine physically, but there was a famine spiritually. There was a famine specifically for the hearing of the word. Now, what does that suggest to you and I? Well, that suggests that the word was available. That there were prophets there, like Amos, declaring the word. They could have heard the word. It wasn't that they didn't have copy or access to the scriptures. They could have listened to the word being read or preached. But there was a famine. There was a famine for the hearing of the word. And whilst the Bible is readily available, many are sadly unavailable. They become unavailable in the matter of the reading of the word of God. I'm sure you all have a copy of the scriptures in your house. Maybe you can point to 3, 4, 5, 6 copies of the Bible. It's an available book in that sense. But I wonder, are you available? I wonder, perhaps, are you available to read the scriptures? Or perhaps is it because of a loss of love? A loss of love for Jesus Christ. That maybe there's just not that hunger for the word that there once was. You sadly can't say with David, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Do you really have a love for the book this morning? Do you love the Bible? Do you love the scriptures? Martin Luther had such a love for the Bible that he says, the Bible, it has legs, it runs after me. And he loved to come to the word of God. He would get up very, very early in the morning and he would open up the book and he would say, Lord, run after me. Run after me. Come and speak to me. But I wonder perhaps, whilst the Bible has been running after you, have you been running from the Bible? It has legs, as it were, it's coming for you, but you've been running away. This is what happened here. There was a loss of love, and because of that, they neglected the scripture. But I want you to see also that they neglected their separation. Their separation. Verses 4 and 5 we read, before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah, and he had prepared for him a great chamber. Now, Eliashib wasn't just an ordinary priest. He wasn't a common priest. Eliashib had a very, very prominent role in the temple. He was the high priest. Verse 28 calls him Eliashib the high priest. It seems that this man, he had the oversight of the entire temple worship. Eliashib was a busy man. Chapter 3, whenever we considered the workers on the wall, we discovered that Eliashib was actually busy, involved in the reconstruction of the sheep gate as well. So here's a man who had a very, very prominent role in the work of God. Here's the high priest. And it seems that whilst Nehemiah was away, what did Eliashib do? Well, he went into the temple. He cleared out one of the many rooms in that temple. And he welcomed in the enemy. For here we read in these verses of Tobiah. And we find that Tobiah, he made himself a little room in the house of God. Tobiah, of course, was one of the prominent enemies of Nehemiah throughout the book. And if you read through Nehemiah, you'll discover that Tobiah was never actually allowed in. Tobiah was always looking in from the outside. He was always slandering and castigating and criticizing the walls. But what did Eliashib the high priest do? Well, because of a loss of love for the Lord in his own heart, we find that he welcomed in the enemy, prepared a spare room for Tobiah to lodge and to stay in. And because his heart had drifted from the Lord, he became an actual friend of an enemy of the gospel. And when we fall out of love with the Savior, we will then fall out of love with his standards. We will neglect personal and ecclesiastical separation. Separation is a tenet of Scripture. The Scripture clearly teaches personal holiness and ecclesiastical holiness. It teaches, yes, that we personally need to be holy, but we also should separate ourselves from organizations or even denominations that have departed from the faith. And whenever our heart hankers after the wrong kind of friendship, the wrong kind of companionship, then it is really showing that there's something wrong on the inside. Whenever we want to spend more time with the ungodly than the godly, and there's something wrong. Again, there's a lack of love or a loss of love in your heart. You think of Samson. Samson was set apart for the Lord from birth. He was consecrated as a Nazarite unto God. But sadly, we read in Judges chapter 14 that he went to a city of Timnath to find a companion. The city of Timnath was a Philistine city. It was not an Israelite city. It was in Israel, but it was completely taken over by Philistines. And as he then came back from Timnath, we read Judges 14 verse 3, that his mother and father said unto him, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said unto his father, "Get her for me to wife, for she pleaseth me well." In other words, his parents came to him and said, "Look, Samson, you need to find a wife who's an Israelite. Someone who worships and serves the same God that you do." But he didn't want to listen. His heart was far away from God. And you hear the vehemency of his desire, "Get her for me to wife, for she pleaseth me well." In other words, "I don't really care. I want her anyway." Separation is not merely a denominational standard, but it is a personal and a scriptural standard. It is an abiding principle found throughout Scripture. And we need to ensure that we don't make the mistake of Eliashib, that we don't, as it were, leave any rooms or chambers within our heart for the Tobias of this world. Dwight L. Moody stated that it's okay for a boat to be in the water, but it's dangerous for the water to be in the boat. And he was speaking on this issue of personal separation. And what he was saying was, it's okay that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And when the world starts to impact us, then we begin to sink. They neglected the Scripture, they neglected their separation. But I want you to see another result of the loss of love that they had experienced. Also, they neglected their service. Their service. Verse 11, we read, "Then contended I with the rulers and said, Why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place." In verse 10, you discover how the Levites actually made their living. The Levites, of course, they were those who were constantly laboring in the temple. They did not have a secular occupation. And so we find that the Levites actually made their living by the other members of the children of Jerusalem, the children of Judah, coming along into the temple and giving their tithes and offerings. The Levites actually lived off the giving of the people. But you'll discover that something was happening here. We find that the worshippers, they had begun to stop tithing. As their hearts were drifting from the Lord, they had stopped coming to the house of God and stopped giving to the house of God. And this actually led for the Levites having to go back out into the fields and to labor just to support themselves. And Nehemiah then asks this question in verse 11, a very, very searching question. Why is the house of God forsaken? In other words, he was saying this. He was asking, why are you thinking of yourselves and not thinking about the service of the house of God? And a loss of love for the Savior will ultimately result in a loss of love for his service. It will lead to a forsaking of the house and the work of God. If your heart is frosty this morning, formal, frozen, that just going through the motions, wonder perhaps maybe is that a reason that you don't have the heart that you ought to for the service of God? Maybe perhaps you've even recently been thinking about leaving the service of God, that thing that you do, that little task that no one else can do but only you can do. You've been thinking about giving up. Wonder, is it just perhaps because of a loss of love for Christ? So often we're so busy bustling about, and we're not brimming over with love for Christ. Jeremiah 48 verse 10 says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Jeremiah was simply saying that whenever the children of Judah, as they were going out to war against the Moabites, that there were those who didn't go. There were those who put the sword down. They kept back their swords from battle. And when we lose our feeling for the sword, we will eventually forsake the sword. You will leave and go AWOL. Going AWOL, of course, means absent without leave. It's a term used by the military. It speaks of a soldier just willfully abandoning his post. And I wonder, could it be that a loss of love for Christ is leading you to think about going AWOL, being absent, deserting, and leaving the service of God? You know, General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he was a very, very zealous individual for Christ. Whenever he signed his name, he would always sign William Booth, and then after his name, he would sign the words, saved to serve. And we're not saved for slothfulness nor for slackness. We are saved for service. But sadly, because of a loss of love, there were those and they were neglecting the service of God. Wonder this morning, is that perhaps why you haven't committed to the service of God? Because there's a loss of love? There's a loss of love in your heart and it's eating away, and as a result it's displaying itself in this aspect of your life. They neglected the scripture, their separation, their service. But one last thing they neglected, they also neglected the Sabbath. Verse 15 we read, in those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. You'll remember in chapter 10 that they had all come together representatively and signed that covenant to obey the Lord. And you'll remember one of the things that was on that covenant, what was that they promised to keep the Sabbath day. They had written down in that covenant that whenever a heathen would come and try and sell their goods on the Sabbath, that they wouldn't buy them. Now this practice, it seemed, was upheld for a while. But whenever Nehemiah went to Persia, it seems that this practice of keeping the Sabbath and not trading on the Sabbath was sadly abandoned. Whenever Nehemiah returned and walked through the city, he saw grain being sold in the market on the Sabbath day. He went to the gates, and he saw a donkey bringing in load after load of goods to be sold on the Sabbath. As he then took a peek out through the walls and looked into the fields, he saw the wheat being harvested as it was harvest time. Oh, they had promised, they had covenanted that the Sabbath day was to be a special day, a day of public and private worship, a day of spiritual rest and spiritual refreshment. But they had gone against that. Now they were selling, now they were buying, now they were breaking and neglecting to keep the Sabbath day. And a loss of love for the Saviour will also lead to a loss of love for the Sabbath. It will result in you neglecting to keep the Sabbath day. We had already thought about the necessity to be engaged in worship on the Sabbath day a few weeks ago when we looked at this topic. And if you neglect to do either of these duties, whether it is public duties or private duties, then you're showing that there is perhaps a drift from the Lord. You're showing that there is that gradual decline, and deterioration of your walk with God. Hebrews 10:25 states, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." And it was sad that Paul had to write to Hebrew converts, Jewish converts, those who were obviously very, very strict in their adherence to the Sabbath. And he had to write to them and he had to castigate them because there were those who weren't coming to the house of God, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. On the Sabbath, we're not to be employed with the secular, but with the spiritual. We're not to abandon, but attend the house of God. And I wonder, perhaps is that a display of your lack of love for the Saviour? Perhaps there is the lack of attendance at time, and that just shows that the heart is far away from the Lord. The results of a loss of love. When the cats are away, the mice will play. And that's what was happening here in Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah was away. And the children of Judah, they had begun to play. There was a loss of love, and this resulted in them neglecting certain areas of their Christian life. May God help us to learn the lessons and to love the Lord firstly, knowing that this will impact our lives. May God bless his word to your hearts this morning.